Shady Grove, mind loving, bound for Shady Grove.
Welcome to our first episode of In the Frying Pan. In the Frying Pan this week, we have, in our very first Frying Pan, we have Liam Grant, former Green Party councillor from Lynch. Welcome, Liam. We have Angela Call, Fianna Fáil stalwart and election aficionado. Welcome, Angela. And we have Joe Wolfe, independent politician who's not running in this election, but has got lots of opinions, I'm sure, about this election. We are also supposed to have Mike Taylor from Fine Gael here, who sadly can't make it today. So in the spirit of that, maybe we should start off by talking about Fine Gael, seeing as they're not in the room. Angela, what do you think about Fine Gael for this election? It was an interesting addition of candidates there at the last minute. How do you see them stacking up?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Like, the polls have been very much up and down for Fine Gael. There was certainly the Harris bump there maybe 2-3 weeks ago. That seems to have settled down and come down a little bit. If I was a member of Fine Gael, I'd probably be fairly concerned looking at the polls that came out over the weekend. The choice of candidates, geographically, they have an excellent selection. They have one East Clare, one Ennis Town, one West Clare. They're all three strong candidates. I personally would expect that Joe Cooney will be, of the three, in terms of first preferences, Joe Cooney is going to come out above the other two, mainly because the people in East Clare will vote for him in numbers, as they have done for every local election that he's ever run in. And, you know, I would imagine Fine Gael will have no problem taking one seat. Their struggle will be whether they can return two, and it'll come down to vote management. And in my memory, this is the first time that I remember Fine Gael running three. So the vote management is going to be key. I mean, their vote management, the last time out when Joe retained his seat and Pat Breen lost his, there was a lot of discussion out in the West County about their vote management strategy at that time. So I don't know, obviously, I'm not party to their vote management strategy this time, but vote management is going to be key, and it will be key for Fianna Fáil as well.
Okay, I mean, they had troubles in Ennis for the local election too. It seems like, I mean, they had candidates added late to this election as well. It seems like they maybe weren't, I mean, Fianna Fáil always seemed to be ahead of the game in this sort of thing. It seems like they weren't maybe as on the ball as other parties.
Yeah, so I think Joe Carey's decision to not run probably would have been helpful to Fine Gael if he had made that decision 6 months before he did, or at least if he had given them the heads up that he wasn't running. I know from talking to members of Fine Gael, there was a lot of disappointment that he wasn't communicating with them, and that they didn't have time to plan. And then you had the whole thing with Joe Cooney, I'm not running, I am running, I'm not running. And then all of a sudden, within 12 hours, Joe Cooney and Dr. Tom Nolan were added to the ticket. And that came from nowhere, because I hadn't heard any whispers. And generally, when you're as involved in politics as I would be, you'd hear something, and I heard nothing. And I think there were people even in Fine Gael circles that were surprised by two additions in one day.
Yeah, I think there definitely was. Liam, what about you? What about the Greens? I mean, I suppose Roisin has been the obvious candidate from a long way out for this. How is it going? What's your sense of how it's going on the ground?
Yeah, well, I think Roisin has built up a good name for herself and has made lots of TV appearances, and that's got to be her strategy. You know, going back to the last election, there was a kind of a green wave, and we talked about the tide turning of that, so I think she has to get a big personal vote. I think she's done very well in terms of, you know, appearing on TV with Michael Healy-Ray and showing that she's well able to be a strong voice for Clare. Unlike last time, you know, Martin Conway isn't going, so that's one kind of competitive person out of North Clare. You got Paddy Murphy Lynch, but I think a lot of people in North Clare would maybe see Roisin is the best chance of getting a TD in that area. We haven't had one for a long time. I think Joe Killeen was the last TD we've had in North Clare. So I think that's been Roisin's big strategy. She's been very active. She's been on the ground, and while she maybe lost a kind of the green wave, but I think there's a good personal vote for Roisin in terms of what she's done, how active she's been. I think that's, you know, I think she's going to be very competitive. Talk about the Fine Gael thing. I think Joe Cooney's going to top the poll. That's my bet. I think he's an incredibly electable candidate, and I saw that in my experience with the county council, kind of how likable a person he is. And you know, people ask me what's the biggest political party in Clare, and I would say the GAA is the biggest political party in Clare, and that's what Joe Cooney has kind of behind him. And I think actually the late addition is going to benefit him. And I think the reason he decided to go last minute, a lot of people came on board, said I'll support you. And I've been doing a small bit of canvassing for Roisin, and I met people who say, oh, Madeline Taylor Quinn was talking to me, or Bill Slattery, or Joe Garry. So he's, you know, he's going to do very well, obviously, in his neck of the woods, but he has a big team behind him now. And I think it's an advantage, some of the Fine Gael candidates being new candidates are like, oh, I'm Fine Gael, but I'm also change. I'm new. I can do something different. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be able to say that in the door, to be able to say that I'm change, I'm different. People want to hear that sometimes. So I think he laid it in, but I think stars aligning for Joe. Can they get another person over the line with him? I don't know. That'd be the challenge for them. But that's a bold prediction, maybe. That's the way I see it going.
Yeah, it does seem like it's going to be, well, the way I'm reading it, it seems unlikely they're going to get two. And if they're not going to get two, what was the point in adding Joe Cooney then? You know, because he's going to get, he's essentially going to get a seat that probably Leonora Kerry would have got. So it's kind of dragging him into it, maybe a bit reluctantly. And they're going to, you know, they're going to end up with the same result. Chances are, at the end of the day, not obviously we can't predict anything, but it seems like a little bit of a, almost for show, to show that they were going for two seats, even though it's probably unlikely they're going to get two seats.
I think they could get two seats.
I
think, like, if bookies on, there could be two Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and there's the outside pack trying to chase it down. But I wouldn't look off Leonora Kerry. There's been a Kerry vote for a long time. She's going to get several thousands of votes, whether that's over 5,000, 6,000, with the family support behind her. That's what they're trying to do. And I think that was maybe a bold strategy, pushing for trying to get two over the line. And, you know, obviously the doctor in West Clare, he's going to have a big push, and they're hoping to get transfers from the wherever that third, the first candidate out is. But I guess that's what they were trying to do. Had they not run Joe, they probably would end up with just one. So you don't understand what they're doing, but there's a strong Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael vote. North Clare got two Fianna Fáil, two Fine Gael. In my local election, I'm well aware of it. If you're a different party, you're fighting an uphill battle.
Okay. So, Joe, you've contested a number of elections as a different party or as an independent. I mean, you know how hard that is. Who do you see from outside the big two who could make that impact?
Well, just to answer a little bit of that Fine Gael question, I see with quite a lot of new candidates, people may vote a bit like they did in the local election, which was geographically. Mm. There's 20 people running. So the vote might be more like who's around me, rather than will I go 1, 2, 3 Fianna Fáil, 1, 2, 3 Fine Gael, or whatever way it may be. They may vote a little bit different than what the normal trend, because the normal trend is if there's X number of candidates running that have been run as legacy candidates. This is not a legacy race or contest, to be contested as a race. So I think it's going to be a bit of a variation to it. It's a question about independence. Like, there's 5 independents running in this election. There's never been 5 running. And will they all get in? Obviously they can't. Only 4 can get in. But the question would be, what are they offering to the people as opposed to what are the other parties offering? Would it be like the last election where you saw the Sinn Féin all of a sudden kaboom, it was thereabouts. I don't know. I don't really get the real sense that people are giving off what they're going to do as they were in other times, because they're unsure of the Fine Gaels, you know, as the Fine Gael was unsure what they were going to do. Mm. And I think Fianna Fáil were very clear about what they were aiming to achieve. There's kind of the repeat of the last election. So they know what that is. I work as a barber too. Mm. I don't hear people talking that much about it. Only that it's going to be the exact same as the last time. Kind of like as if there's just a little bit of this uncertainty, and they're not shouting out names as much as what they used to be. They saw that Timmy didn't get elected in the general election, but he got a Senate seat. So perhaps not voting for Timmy would be okay, because he'll get into the Senate anyway.
Okay. Is there a general apathy out there then? I mean, like, Angela, you're canvassing, are you? And Liam, you're doing some canvassing. Are you canvassing, Joe? Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've all been on the doorsteps. Are people just not really engaged?
I don't know, it's winter. I think they did the summer election very soon, close by. I think they're more focused on Christmas. I think it's a lot of more focused. If they could got the Trump election out of the way,
I think it's a lot easier to get people to open the doors in the summer too.
Yeah, you're not letting out heat.
Yeah. And you're canvassing in the dark by and large. And a lot of, particularly elderly people, don't like to open the doors in the dark. Now, I do have an advantage over the two gents, in that people will open the door to a woman a lot faster than a man. Mm. And I've seen that where lads would go up to the door first, and I'd be yapping or I'd be on my phone, and as soon as I run up, the door opens.
Okay.
That's not obviously just I'm not your personality, as a
Angela, no.
But it's winter elections are hard, and it's very hard to get a grip on what people are thinking, because they don't want you to stand at the door and talk. In the summer, people did stand at the door and talk. They're not talking now. They're taking the leaflet, thanks very much, and the door is closed in your face.
Okay.
And that's standard. That has been the case for every winter election I've ever canvassed in.
So that makes it hard to judge what people are thinking then.
Yeah, 100%. It's very, very difficult. You get a better judge from going in after a canvass and sitting in the pub and having a pint or a sandwich and a cup of tea, and people will come over and talk to you when you have the canvass leaflet sitting on the table. And I'm sure you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
That happens, and you get a better judge of what's going on from sitting down and having a cup of tea and a sandwich in a pub and having the chat with the lads or going around. Even going around Dunn's, I'd have people that would come up to me and talk to me because they know who I am. And they're like, how do you see the election going? And then you kind of get the chance to kind of suss out what they're thinking. But like Joe says, I think this time people are being a lot more guarded. And I'd say the level of undecided is still quite high, considering that we're only, what, 4 days or 5 days out.
Okay, great stuff. What about Fianna Fáil, Angela, seeing as you're talking there, because we haven't really touched on them yet. I mean, it is going to be, they're familiar faces, but there's it's a very packed field over in East Clare this time round. How are you seeing that panning out?
Well, obviously, I'm going to say the Fianna Fáil are three excellent candidates.
Yeah.
As Joe said, they're the same three candidates we had the last time, the difference being that Rita is now a councillor, so she does have a higher profile, particularly in West Clare. I would say after Joe Cooney, I'd say Timmy is probably going to come second in terms of first preferences, because more than what Joe was saying there, there's a certain amount of people that say, maybe I didn't give you the scratch the last time because I thought you were safe, so I give it to you this time. He has a huge campaign team out. He has spent a fair amount of money on posters and stuff. He has a bigger profile than he did, and he's certainly putting in a massive amount of effort. I'd say he's on the road 18 hours a day. And that's going to reflect in his first preferences. East Clare is very packed, but I mean, Cathal and Timmy were in the same. Cathal is in Meelik and Timmy's in, excuse me, in Chulla Mount Shannon, kind of neck of the woods. Michael Mack was there the last time, so I mean, he was a strong candidate in East Clare as well. So in terms of how Fianna Fáil will go, I'd say Timmy will come above Cathal this time round, and I'd be hopeful. Rita will do an awful lot better than I think people expect. She did fabulous at the debate there. It was the one in Woodstock there last week. She was a very good performer in terms of social media. Her social media is excellent. She's good debating. She knows her stuff. So, you know, the three Fianna Fáil, I would imagine, were going to have very good first preferences, and then it comes down to that wondrous thing, vote management.
Okay, and Fianna Fáil are historically masters of that in Clare there. They're very good at getting that out. What about the Sinn Féin element in this, and the former Sinn Féin element of this? And I suppose we should declare, Angela, your daughter is working.
My daughter works for Violet Ann, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you probably can't say anything too bad about her. So how are you getting on at home? Is everything okay?
Well, she doesn't live in the same house as me, so because she's grown up and she has her own money, so she doesn't live at home.
Okay.
Which is, you know, if I was in her shoes and I was getting her wages, I probably wouldn't live at home either.
Liam, how do you see that panning out? I mean, it was a surprise to some, I suppose. I suppose it was probably a surprise to everyone, wasn't it? When Violet won the seat for Sinn Féin last time round, it was certainly a big change for Clare. And Donna's a very likeable character, candidate. So, is there a feeling that they might, that Sinn Féin is just, well, what are your feelings on it, actually? I won't put words in your mouth.
Yeah, it's hard to guess what's going to happen. Yeah, nobody predicted what was going to happen last time with Violet Nguyen topping the first preferences. I think we wrote her off last time. I feel like riding her off again. I feel like a lot of people are doing that with Violet Nguyen. I think people felt it was a Sinn Féin vote, and it was very much the stars aligning for an anti-government vote kind of went Sinn Féin last time. I mean, there was a feeling people who didn't want Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael government voted Sinn Féin at the time. They felt that was maybe the only option. Feels far more fragmented this time with independence, Independent Ireland, other parties, Social Democrats. I think there's a lot more options now in terms of people wanting to, let's say, vote against, don't want to vote for the two big parties. Like, I think Donna has done well in the council. I think almost what had happened the last 4 years is Sinn Féin is hurting her. Had she been the candidate before, she'd probably have a better chance of retaining the seat. I think people feel hard done by voting for Sinn Féin last time and then getting someone who left the party, and I don't think that's helped them at all. And it's left them big fragmented. I wouldn't rule Donna out. I think there's a lot of people competing probably for that fourth seat, that final seat. And, you know, it's about staying above the pack when people start getting eliminated. If, you know, Donna, Violet, someone else, those candidates get eliminated, where those transfers are going to go, and you're probably going to see someone leapfrogging the end to take the last seat. So I wouldn't rule out Donna. I wouldn't rule out Sinn Féin. I think what happened last time has probably hurt them. I can't see Violet and Wynne getting back in again. I think she will get some votes based on, I think any politician who does any bit of work over 4 or 5 years, you'll get votes from people by just getting passports for them or doing bits and bobs. I'm sure she's done that. I don't think she has. I think there's the party that got over the line last time. I don't know if they'll do for St. Donna.
It's really hard to know. I mean, she has been really active. She's done an awful lot, Violet. I mean, she, well, from an outside point of view, she's been busy, I suppose. Do you know? I mean, so it's just hard to know how that's going to stick for people. How that's going to... Does that actually generate votes then afterwards? Or are you still just stuck in the cycle of she's not Sinn Féin anymore, if they're going to vote for Donna? I don't know. It's hard to know.
She certainly has name recognition, which is a huge advantage in any election.
Yeah.
People know who she is. Whether they want to vote for her or they don't want to vote for her, they know who she is. Mm. And for the thing with first-time candidates, when you're starting off, it's very, very difficult to get the kind of level of name recognition, good, bad or indifferent, that Violet Ann Wynne has.
Yeah, she definitely has that. Joe, what about some of the independents again? So, I mean, Eddie Punch is seen by a lot of people as a very strong candidate. Has name recognition certainly amongst the farming community, and since the European election probably has a wider name recognition there. Again, he's unfortunate to be in that East Clare block of where a lot of candidates are. How do you see his chances?
Well, he's not that independent though. He's in a party that has a whip. So,
well, he's independent Ireland. He's in
they're not as independent anymore with the party whip model.
Yeah.
So that has changed their status. In that area, like, they've, I think it's roughly speaking, there's 6 running in West Clare, if I'm right in my figures, and there's 14 or so running in East Clare, if I'm right. So it is very, very, very crowded in East Clare.
Yeah.
But like the population, the big growth of the population is in the West. I think with the independents, I think a lot of them are just running on what they feel they want to see happen. They have a certain message to deliver to people, to wider public, and they want to get it out there. Will they be the ones that get elected? It's very hard to tell. A lot of people seem to be running a lot of the same points: hospitals, housing, cost of living, etc., etc. So a lot of people have a lot of the same messages. So I suppose for the people voting, it is a bit tricky too, because you're looking at the same message being delivered on just a different face. I'm wearing a different coloured party colours, I'm slightly different colour skinned, but the message is the same. Who do you want to go with? Then are people just going to vote on popularity, or I've seen a lot in the paper, or is it just the case of just walk in on Friday and just take a box? Mm-hmm. Will it be a bit like, I don't remember, in the local election, you had the European election, there were so many on the sheet, people are going, oh man.
Yeah. So it's hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
Yeah. What do you think about Eddie Punch? I mean, do you think he's got a shot at that fourth seat? Or?
I think he does, yeah. He's probably more the wild card, dark horse, hard to predict. Like, you know, we had Violet Wynne and Michael McNamara last time. Where are those votes going to go? Mm. And that's probably the votes that Eddie Punch needs to convince. I don't know. I could see him getting in. I could see him not. He definitely needs to get transfers from the actual independent candidates, let's call them that, the other ones. He needs to transfer very well from them, I would imagine, to see him over the line. It probably hurts him in a way that there is so many of the other independents, maybe with a similar rhetoric as well. Mm. You know, had they all come together and got behind one candidate, again, there's independent Ireland, independence is different, but there's definitely similarities you feel between them in terms of their stances. Would they have been able to get someone over the line? As I said before, it's a bit fragmented. Are they going to transfer there? And it's so hard to pick transfers. I think last time it was Roisin Garvey's transfers that got Violet and Wynne over, which is, you can't see going that way this time. It's very hard to call those transfers. But I feel Eddie needs to pick up a lot of transfers as we start eliminating people. I think that's his way in. But I see him as a bit of a wild card that I don't want to write off. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top four after the first count, as with Roisin, Donna. So some other people we can't write off too early, you know.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be in the shake-up. I would say, I've already said, I think that Joe Cooney and Timmy are going to be the top two, and there's probably six or seven then that'll be kind of bunched together. I think Eddie Punch does have name recognition. I'd take Joe's opinion on the farming, because I know nothing about farming, more than I. But I mean, that has to be. Because he had a high profile in the ICMSA.
Mm-hmm.
I got that one right.
Yeah.
He does have. The other thing to think about is we had 20 candidates.
I think it was the ICSA.
Oh, sorry. One of them is Creamery Milk. Yeah, sorry. The other thing to remember is we have 20 candidates. So the ballot paper, and I've seen it, we have a copy of it at home because we have a postal voter at home. The ballot paper is 2 foot long.
Christ.
And are people going to go the whole way down? So will that be a disadvantage when you think that you have Cooney, Crow, Carey, Julie are all up at the top half? The other thing to think about is that we have 20 candidates, 7 of them are government parties and 13 of them are non-government parties. So are those 13 going to transfer to each other? No, I can't wait for the tallies. I can't wait to see the transfer patterns. Because as Liam said, the transfers from Roisin to Violet Ann Wynne the last time, I think, surprised everyone. I don't think anyone would have seen that coming. I don't know, is that a woman-to-woman thing?
I think it was a woman-to-woman at the time, and not government party vote, which is different now reflecting on it. But yeah, there wasn't that many female candidates last time, even much more this time. So that's probably going to be dispersing. There is a female vote, and I think that did come into effect last time. There's so many female candidates now, which is great to see. It's going to be a little more dispersed, and Green Party would be considered in government as opposed to... So it's, yeah, but nobody predicted that at the time, anyway.
No, I think there's 6 women on the ballot paper this time, is there?
Yeah, it's the largest amount.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced that women vote solely for women. I personally wouldn't. But then again, like, I'm a complete political nerd.
My mom always says she does. I think it does affect a small amount of people.
I think probably I would say 50% of women vote for women. And then there's the other 50% who are like me and awkward and don't.
We have 9 women on the ballot this time around.
9?
So, yeah. So
that's a lot.
That is a lot. There is a prospect that Clare could return all government TDs. Is that something that would surprise you, I suppose? I mean, if... Possibly Green Party as well, if Roisin, you know, it does look like there'll certainly be 3 and possibly be 4.
I don't see that happening, to be honest. Clare, historically, has always thrown up a wild card.
Mm.
I mean, in the 90s, we had Dr. Bamji, we had Dr. Harty, Michael Mack, when he went in the first time, I think, was seen as a wild card. The Clare electorate is very discerning, and we will always elect someone that nobody expects.
Okay, can we just... Blue Sky, think it for a second. So let's say we're going to have 3 government TDs. Who's getting in? Who's out of that pack? Who's our wild card this time around? Joe, do you want to go first? Who would you say is best positioned from outside the people who are there now to get in?
Gee, that's a big question.
we can come back to you.
Come back to me.
I can't say Roisin in this one.
No, well, she's a government, so yeah.
I think she competing with the likes. I think it is Eddie Punch and Donna. I'm not sure after that. I'm not too, like, the Social Democrats think Holly Kearns is the most popular politician in the country right now. Is that going to carry Hilary Tong? Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't think she has the same profile that she probably needs, but I think that's what happened last time with Violet Wynne, was that the party actually carried her through. I don't see it with that. You're saying someone we'd at least expect. I would somewhat expect Eddie Punch or Donna or someone to be that 4 candidate. So I don't know who's the wild card this time. I'm just not sure.
Is the question like who is the wildest? Are you going to go like Michael Leahy, or are you going to go?
No, not the wildest. Who's the most likely unlikely person to get elected? If you know what I mean, who is?
I should be saying Kevin Hassett, I should be saying Matthew Moroney, I'm kind of helping them out.
Yeah.
But I say if I didn't pick those 2 boys, which would be 2 men who would be very good at the job, yeah, I picked Paddy Murphy. Man okay. has a pub, he's in the west coast of Ireland, quite vocal, he's online a lot. He's not deeply, deeply politically minded, but he's just saying it as it is.
Yeah.
If I was to pick someone like that, a bit like Violet Hang got picked the last time, that'd be someone that I would think on the spectrum of youth would see him as doing good interviews online, funny, bit of character, doesn't send it our way, but says what people think.
Yeah, and he's from East Clare, but very well known in West Clare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angela, what about you? Have you any thoughts here?
I probably would have just said, Joe now has me thinking. I was before
I was doing the social media platform thing. Do you know, because you don't know sometimes people be watching people on TikTok.
Yeah.
There's a lot of followers there.
And this is a social media election.
Yeah.
Completely given the time. We talk about going to doors in the wintertime. Like it's,
yeah.
People don't want to stand the door. They feel bad. They don't want to have the door open talking to you. And it's much harder to get out now in the dark as opposed to the election that was in June. So I think this is a social media election. I think we'll see people with big followings, and that helps Roisin. I think Paddy is always having his fun on TikTok before the election, you know what I mean? So I think that is a benefit to him.
Yeah, I would have said Eddie Punch has a really good social media. I have to say I'm probably too old. I don't use TikTok. I'm definitely the oldest in the room, I would say. So yeah, I don't use TikTok at all. But I met Paddy Murphy in Ennistymon yesterday. It was my first time meeting him. And he comes across as a really sound lad.
Yeah,
he's the kind of lad charisma. That you could sit in the bar and have a few pints with and a bit of crack with. As to whether that, like, I'm intrigued by the thought that that might turn into votes, and it could well turn into votes. He could well end up being the wild card. Who knows? Because the Clare electorate will always come out with a surprise. So when people say to me, "Oh, you're going to return 4 government TDs," I'll always say, "No, no, not going to happen." I mean, I would love for, like, it'd be fabulous if you say to me that, oh, you could return 3 Fianna Fáil, and that would be a surprise. No, I guarantee you that there will be someone that nobody really predicted. I think Eddie Punch, like Liam said, Eddie Punch is probably, he's going to be in the shake-up, so I don't know if he's enough of a surprise. But Paddy Murphy could be.
Paddy has a great constituency office in the Hinch, anyway. Up at the high stool, in fairness to him, there's a corner of the pub there. I won't say what's actually called, but all of the world's problems are solved there. And in fairness, he understands the problems everyday people is facing because he's chatting them up the high stool the whole time. Being able to deliver on changing those is a different story, but I think he does understand people very well, and I think that comes across.
But, it's hardly going to transfer to the number of thousands of votes you need to get elected, though. I mean, it would be it would be a bigger shock than any of the shocks we've talked about, surely. If Paddy, no disrespect to Paddy,
no.
He's a sound guy, and he's, you know, but it's that would be a massive surprise, wouldn't it?
Realistically, in fairness, probably I'd be talking about if I was a betting woman, which I must clarify I'm not. I would say probably Eddie Punch or Violet Ann Wynne for the last.
Would you actually give Violet a chance?
You'd be people actually are talking about her. I've met a couple of people. I met someone who said that she helped him out with the passport, which is funny because you mentioned that earlier. I met another woman who said that because Violet has a special needs child, which I didn't know about until this woman said it to me, that she felt a certain amount of empathy from her, that she had met her and she had talked to her. So I wouldn't write her off. I think everybody has her written off. I don't. And I know I had that tiny little bit of pro-Violet bias because of Katie, but I actually genuinely don't think she's going to be in the first round to be eliminated.
Okay. I don't think so either. I think she will get enough of a vote to stay in there, but yeah, I'm surprised to hear that you think she's got that much of a chance, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be exciting come Friday. I think this is going to be one of the most exciting accounts I can't call how that fourth seat is going to go. I think the shock might be that it is going to be 4 government TDs that are returned. I don't think 3 Fine Gael, or 3 Fianna Fáil, sorry, Angela. But, excuse me. Do we want to maybe try calling it? Would we give that a go? I mean, because we're nearly out of time here. So do you want to give us a 1, 2, 3, 4? Or am I digging too deeply there for some of you?
One, Joe. Be brave, Joe.
Be brave?
I'd be shocked no matter what I said.
Well, we're all fairly sure that Joe Cooney's probably going to make it, yeah? Would we say that collectively, or are you?
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't know, does a council election get you elected at all? Like, Timmy Dooley never won a council election. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so he got to the Dáil. But it doesn't mean that you did win the council, you do get the Dáil.
It's very popular, though. He's very, and across the board, you know, you never hear a bad word said about Joe Cooney.
Yeah, but back in West Clare, we wouldn't know anything about Joe Cooney.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do our roads, he doesn't improve our infrastructure, he doesn't improve the infrastructure, not Clare. You know, he's very, very well known in his own area.
Yeah.
I think give him that. He He's called the Hoover, the Dyson.
I just think the people that are canvassing with him, I think Killooney's going to get a massive vote in that. His MD, his where his council he was, and I think the Madeleine Taylor Quinns, the Pat Breens, the Bill Slattery's that have got behind him will get him over the line. Yeah. That's what I found when I was going around doing canvassing. It wasn't people saying that they knew Joe Cooney. They said this person arrived at the door and asked them to vote for Joe.
Yeah,
I think that's what's going to get him over the line, actually, and outside his town. Because you're right, and nobody, if Wendell Hinch, not many people know Joe Cooney at all. And I said to him, I think he's top of the world. They're like, all right, why do you think that? And that it's not that well known outside his area, but yeah. I do think the party can maybe carry him over. And like, he got a big vote in his area with Pat Burke as well, who's also Fine Gael. Like, you imagine those votes are going to go to him as well. Yeah. And there's actually a very strong amount of councillors in that Killaloe area. There's very good councillors that get a good vote like that. I think he's going to take their votes as well, even the Fianna Fáil votes from that area. I think a lot of people are going to get behind him. He's a very electable guy.
Well, in the last election that Fine Gael had, Martin Conway got 2,400. Yeah. Breen got in around 5.5, in around that. So did Carey, in around 5.5, 6. Like, if you add them all together, it's only about 13,000, 14,000. But is it these aren't the same people running again, so it's a new batch. They mightn't be as sought after as the old batch that are known, but that's my thing. But I also think, and I look in the area where they're all running, Timmy Cahill, there's about 10 other lads, and Joe Cooney. Like, there's not that many votes in the spot. Everyone is on the same pool.
For the sake of argument, just to get us towards a prediction, will we take Joe Cooney? I know you're not 100% there, but for the sake of it, will we take Joe Cooney? Is probably going to get there, and there's certainly going to be one Fianna Fáil. And you think Timmy Angela? Are we happy to say that for the sake of argument, Timmy's probably going to get over the line? Do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think two Fianna Fáil. I'm not sure who the two are. I don't want to write Rita off just straight away. I think Rita's and Roisin's advantage of being slightly less competitive in West Clare, in terms of less people running in the area, I think people feel bad what happened to Killian Murphy, I think, actually.
Yeah.
They're probably predicting, which is not guaranteed, if Rita was to get in, Killian would be in a chance of getting his council seat back. So I wouldn't write her off. I do think there will be two Fianna Fáil.
Yeah.
I want to caveat that with an unfortunately, but...
So let's say one Fine Gael, two Fianna Fáil. Who gets the fourth seat? Can we make that prediction?
I think you did fairly good at getting three names.
Well, we don't have names. We're just trying to work it in a way that everyone feels comfortable making one prediction. You know, so we don't, and it can be another Fianna Fáil or it can be another Fine Gael. So,
well, I have to go for Roisin. I have to back that horse. I think she needs a big North Clare vote. That's what she would need, and needs to pick a vote in every box, which she kind of did last time. And hopefully, that, you know, online presence, that national media presence she's got, and being loud, being a strong voice gets her over. But yeah, that's the one I'm pushing. But I think it is her or Eddie Punch be my next.
Okay, what do you think, Angela?
Well, if you're not allowing me the third Fianna Fáil, I'd
have
to say
Eddie
Punch.
You can, if that's what you want. You can. If you want the third Fianna Fáil, you can have it.
No, realistically, it would be very hard to get the third Fianna Fáil. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility. I mean, nobody expected Fianna Fáil and Ennis to take 4 out of 7. Fianna Fáil is very good at vote management. We do have a skill in that area. But probably if it's not Fianna Fáil, it'll either be Roisin or Eddie Punch, I would say.
Okay. Joe, how do you feel about this? Are you ready to commit?
It's a big commitment. I'm going to have to back the two guys I'm helping out too, Kevin Hassett and Matthew Moroney. One is in East and one is West Clare. If the farmers do get behind a true farmer that is independent, does not have a whip, because if independent Ireland is largely made up of Fianna Fáil, and that is not too...
You're shaking your head, Angela.
Why aren't they aligned, the Kevin, Matthew and Eddie? Like, you feel like, to me, I see similarities between them, but, you know, in a way they can end up hurting each other. I mean, they might transfer each other very well, but they're almost hurting each other in a way.
Well, so is Timmy and Cahill beside each other in the same party.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a decision by the party as well. Like,
but it is damaging. But it's okay because we view Fianna Fáil as being God.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah. So Cahill was originally elected as a councillor in the Shannon municipal area rather than in Killaloe, And Jimmy would consider the Killaloe Municipal District to be his home turf, and Cahill would consider Shannon to be his home turf. So you do have that divide. The last time out, Jimmy did better in Ennis, and Cahill, Rita did fabulous in West Clare, and her vote transferred heavily in favour of Cahill rather than Jimmy. Don't know what way that's going to obviously work this time round. And in North Clare, the last time, they all got a bit of the chunk side. I know that when you look at a map of Clare, that they look like they're side by side, but realistically, Cahill would be more towards Shannon and Jana than towards Jimmy and the rest of the bunch. And I mean, there is a big bunch. I have a map with like little pins as to where they're located, and East Clare is pretty packed out, in fairness.
Yes, oh, it is. Very
but I, it's interesting but you
separate, but you separate Shannon from the rest of the area, but in a general election, it's all together.
I know that.
I know where he was positioned for the local election, was what he got very good at. This is his first time getting elected. Now he's looking to get re-elected.
Yeah, then it's always harder to get re-elected than it is to get elected the first time.
Yeah.
Angela, what were you going to say there a second ago? You were going to say something.
Independent Ireland, like their leader is Michael Collins, who's in Cork Southwest, who was former Fine Gael. So I would have thought that Independent Ireland were more Fine Gael oriented than Fianna Fáil.
No, if you look at the ones that got elected now that make it up, there's 23 or so got elected. The majority of them are Fianna Fáil.
Former Fianna Fáil.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, once you leave Fianna Fáil, you're not Fianna Fáil. I mean, if Mike Taylor was here, you'd be saying the same thing. Once you leave a party, you're not in the party.
Yeah. Sure, Mary Lou was in the party too, wasn't she?
Yeah, Mary Lou was in Ogre Fianna Fáil when she was 19 or 20. Mm. I mean, you'd hardly say that Mary Lou is still aligned to Fianna Fáil, like.
I don't know, but you're going to government with them?
No, absolutely not. And this is, there's a thing, there's a load of people online talking about Fianna Fáil, if Fine Gael drops, if Fianna Fáil will have to go into government with Sinn Féin, and that Micheál Martin will have to change his mind on that. And the thing to remember about Fianna Fáil is that we have one member, one vote. So all of the party membership will get to make that decision, not the parliamentary party, not the leader of the party. And I have yet to meet anyone within the party membership who will vote in favour of a coalition with Sinn Féin.
Okay, so if that does happen, then you're just going to have, you're going to have a hung parliament, you're going to have another election, and then Fine Gael will probably bring themselves back up again, and you'll just be in the same boat again.
I'm going to say three words that I hate: confidence and supply.
Oh God, okay.
That's the only way I can see it working, unless Sinn Féin can bring together a government of the left. And it will depend on how the Social Democrats do. It will depend on how Independent Ireland does. It will depend on how many independents, how Labour does, how People Before Profit and all the rest of the left-leaning parties do. I mean, people voted for change, in inverted commas, the last time, but Sinn Féin wasn't able to pull together a government. Will they be able to do it? They should be in a stronger position to do it this time.
It's hard to see it. I mean, in ways, you would really want to see a big lift for Social Democrats and Labour to have the numbers that would even come close to that. Because you can, I mean, they're not going to go in with Independent Ireland, hardly, are they? I mean, they seem like they're going to be...
Yeah, I think it depends on how desperate Sinn Féin are for power. Mm. I mean, I've heard people in both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, less in Fianna Fáil, in fairness, more in Fine Gael, that are saying, you know, spin on the back benches mightn't do us any harm.
Okay.
Fine Gael had lost a large number of high-profile names in the last 12 to 18 months with retirements and stuff. So, you know, maybe they want to have their chance to rebuild. I would say that Fianna Fáil kind of started a rebuild or a regeneration in 2011 after we got absolutely hammered. But I can't see Fianna Fáil going into government with Sinn Féin. I just can't see it. I can't envisage it. And I have yet to meet anyone that would vote in favour of it.
Okay. Joe, we keep getting away from you naming that fourth candidate for that fourth seat. Have you got someone you want to put a name to, or will I stop?
If I was really going to go on the wild one, if this right wing movement is moving in, just if we're going to go wild on it, Michael Leahy.
Okay.
Just that if there's this movement towards the right and people are getting a bit more focused on what Ireland should be and what it is, and are we being too soft and too lefty, will we vote a bit righty?
Yeah,
well, a bit more righty than righty.
Yeah, I was in his office there last week, and we had a grand conversation. It was less righty than I thought he would be. Do you know, I don't know. Could I see him? I actually do love his social media stuff sometimes. They're very, have you seen his singing? Yeah, it's quite. Oh, you gotta check out his singing. It's fun.
I think, well, I remember like one of his points he made about the construction industry. We don't have the labor force here to build a lot of houses. A lot of them are getting older, and a lot of them have left the construction industry. He had a great suggestion. Invite back the Irish builders that left and went to Australia and New Zealand. Invite them back, give them a tax break for X number of years. Because the youth is what you need to build the houses, not lads in going towards the 60 mark and pensioners. Mm. I thought it was just, that's a solution to a problem. What we're doing is talking about, we're going to do it and do it and do it, but the age profile of the working force are getting too old. A bit like in the farmers, I think, 75% of all farmers are over 59. You know, it's not, and yeah, only 7% of Irish farmers are under 35.
Yeah, yeah. So that is definitely a wild card last four seed anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great stuff. I think I actually have a sneaking suspicion for Roisin. She's not your normal Green. I think it's gonna be a tough election for the Greens, but she's really well gotten North Clare, so I don't know. I think she's
deputy leader of the Green Party as well, which will help. And she did perform exceptionally well in that thing with Michael Healy Ray there a while back. Mm.
Yeah, I think she comes across as, I think the Green Party has failed many times as being Dublin-centric. We get people with a Dublin accent going on there and people don't relate to them in rural Ireland. I think in fairness to Roisin, where people may not even agree with her policies, they look at her and go, like, she doesn't seem like the Greens we used to see, and she seems tougher. She seems to understand rural people in rural Ireland. And she's, you know, she was part of Green schools for a lot of time, went to that. You know, I think a lot of stuff that we've seen, you know, new night bus coming out of Lynch and Steinman going to NS. She has been active on things on the ground and has always been that. And has done well to get across the county. But I do think it was actually great for her. I remember telling about all the radio interviews and TV baits, and she was always putting herself forward for them because she wanted to show her going toe-to-toe. And, you know, she's definitely someone who's able to rattle a few cages, Roisin. And I remember someone describing her as loud. I was like, that's what you want sometimes. If you're sending someone up to Dublin, you want someone who's loud and the squeaky door gets fixed first, is what you might say. And she's good at that, at being aggressive and loud. And it's kind of a contrast to a lot of the Green Party TDs, which I think is refreshing, and I think people like to see it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and she's stuck with the Greens as well. I mean, because a lot of the louder Green voices who would have been like that tend to, thinking of people like Saoirse McEwen and things like that, don't last in the party because they're maybe too independent and don't stick around too much, you know. But it's I don't know, it's be interesting to see how it goes.
Anyone find out why we've no one in North Clare running? You know, North Clare had a good big area and there's no one had put up their name.
It's surprising. It is surprising. Paddy is kind of the other North Clare in a way, obviously not originally from there, but, and that has to play into Roisin's advantage. Joe Clean would have been, Tony Clean. Tony was a great TD, I think, a great person in the movie. Cabinet Minister, I believe, and I think there's a big want for that in North Clare. We haven't seen Madeline Taylor Quinn, I suppose, in the last West Clare, is that correct? Yeah.
She's Kilrush.
Kilrush, yeah, yeah. West Clare MD, if you want to say that. But
often when I think about the candidates, I have to do a little map,
yeah,
and put little dots in it to try and remember where all the candidates are. Like Antua, People for Profit, you know, it's hard to know. There's so many running. I can't wait for actually the champion or the echo, whatever, bring out the paper and I can see all the names, where they are, and kind of get to know.
There's two not even in Clare. You have to get a map that shows Forrest and a map that shows Limerick.
No, it's true. And like, it feels like we've had a pretty detailed conversation, but we haven't mentioned Amanda Major. We haven't mentioned, you just mentioned June Dillon. You know, we have another Green in Barry O'Donovan over in East Clare who's running, Green left.
Barry was with the Greens and he left in, can you pronounce it? What's the name of the party you were at?
Rowerta.
Yeah. We're going to pretend we said that correctly. there's just so many. It's very hard to touch on them all, but hopefully they'll be satisfied enough that maybe I'll just read their names off at the end so everyone got to mention. I think we've done good work here today, lads. Thank you very much for coming to the first episode of In the Frying Pan. And is that what we're calling it? Did we decide? Okay, we're going to call it. Everyone's nodding here, so we're going to call it that. And I'm sure I'll see you all at the election count. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.